It even tells you. Well, welcome back to another episode of the Lookout Podcast. I'm joined with the incredible Ashley Taylor. Thank you so much for joining me.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Luke.
Yeah, absolutely. My pleasure. And I just want to do a little brief intro. So Ashley, longtime firefighter, just found out today you started 9 Mile. And then where'd you go from there? I forgot to ask that part.
Yeah, so from the 9 Mile Ranger District, which I loved all of my time there, I detailed to the McCall Smoke Jumper Base and rookied there.
Oh wow. Hey. So did you do any hot shot time?
Yeah, so I got to detail with the Lolo Hotshots and also detailed with the National Forest ship on the Lolo. So I did a little helicopter time too and
Oh,
some
cool.
dispatch time. I was actually an apprentice, so I
Oh,
went
very
through
cool.
that whole program.
That is important. That makes for a really good foundation. I didn't do dispatch until I got injured a little later on, and I wish I would have done it like my first or second year to have a better understanding for the communication and how they get the information from us in the field. Like I was given a giant size up when I'd size up a fire, and there was no need for it. I could have got it done in like a four, like 4 points, like if what the information I actually need. And then you rookied McCall at the McCall Smoke Jumper Base in 2012.
I was with what some people that you know, so I rookied with them.
Yeah, love it. And I have to say to you, that is the coolest smoke jumper video I've ever seen, is the one that has your rookie class in it, and it explains like what smoke jumping is, and it goes into like more of the operations after it shows some of the work you guys were doing during rookie training. And it just gives the best description ever. So like when people ask me a question, I have no idea about fire, I have no idea about smoke jumping, I'm like, let me just show this video or send it to you because it sums it up, and it's better because it's visual, I think.
That was a great video. Lane Lamro did a great job on
Yeah,
that.
it is so good. Like I still like show people today if they have any questions about it. Like
Yeah,
I
that's
had
awesome.
a talk I gave at a structure fire,
Oh, cool.
a structure fire department, a city fire department in Illinois, and I was gonna go into it, and I was like, you know what, guys, let me just put it up on the screen here, and it'll explain it for me in a better way too. So,
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. You still utilize it. That's
oh
cool.
yeah, it's such a useful tool. And so you smoke jump for how long?
I was at the base for 7 years and I actively jumped five. I was injured some of those years. So, yeah, some ops time in the ops box and
Yeah, and that's good learning there too. I spent a little time in ops as well, and yeah, I only had really 3 active years jumping, and then 2 just doing detail out because my Crohn's was trying to act up on me, so I couldn't really be a field going a firefighter anymore. And then did you go straight from there to train to be a pilot?
So it's kind of through all the injuries, I ended up in the back of my mind, I was like, I should come up with a little bit of like a backup plan. And I really just loved aviation. I loved the aircraft. And I thought that that would be an amazing career shift. And when I started, I didn't think I would actually, I didn't know if I'd ever deploy it. And at some point, I did. So I kind of started the training while I was still jumping. And then my last injury I had, I was like, okay, I'm gonna fully transition. And it was and is an amazing career. Aviation is. And I've been on a long journey, not only with physical healing, but mental and emotional components. And I've just felt really good to transition into alternative mental health. And or you can label it as professional or personal development, if you want to call it.
Oh no.
Passionate about helping wildland firefighters and pilots or anyone who is wanting support.
Sorry, my feed kind of broke up there for a hot second.
No
So
worries.
it kind of started breaking up when you started talking about going transition from the pilot to the wellness and mental health you're doing now. Born of Ashes, right?
So that's my business. Yeah, I just decided to venture off and be an entrepreneur, I guess. And it's just been a really beautiful journey. I had been through a lot of the physical components of healing and injury and surgery, and that came emotional components to it too. So once I started that journey, I really just felt like that was a great way to give back to the wildland fire and aviation communities.
Absolutely. Kind of, yeah, I get to use your knowledge in the field with both those. And it's and after following your page, I didn't realize that it was needed in the aviation field either, but it makes sense. It's a very stressful job too, but I know for sure in my own experience that the wildland world was definitely needing someone like you. So I appreciate you coming into the fold with that. And I talked to Burke Minor about him bringing you on with the foundation, so I was really happy to hear that too.
Yeah, it's been awesome to work with them. It's been great. And to really, I mean, they're amazing, right? They have their mental health program now that I think's been up and running for a little over a year. And it's phenomenal what they do. So providing that as another option for people to get the real support that they need and to
Yeah.
break a little bit of the stigma.
Absolutely. And you've probably seen a little bit too, but there was a fellow committed suicide the year before I came to NCSB. He was a smoke jumper and he got injured in a really bad skiing accident, and then his life was changing drastically. And for folks who maybe don't know, a lot of smoke jumpers are very active people, so they're active. Firefighting is very demanding, and then their off season they typically are doing something demanding, like he was doing some like wing skiing, with like a with a small parachute with the par with a little wing, and I think he kind of piled in on that, and then he wasn't gonna be able to do that anymore, and that was his off season passion, wasn't gonna be able to jump anymore, and so he and this is just what I was told, is that he decided to check out, to end it at that point. And man, if there would have been a resource, like you or like we have now, it might have helped. It might not have, but I feel like sometimes it's just like a phone call for people to kind of express that they're going through something, and then for someone to understand it,
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I just feel really fortunate that I can connect with people in that way. I've done what they've done. So they don't have to explain all the intricacies of the job, right? And then really what I do is I just support them and guide them through a lot of the tools that I have now that really help me because injury and like you were just describing is can be really devastating to that group of people. And if you don't have a strong foundation mentally and emotionally to be able to process that emotion and be able to really channel it in a way or come up with like the next thing you would like to do with your life, if that's what it comes to, then it, I mean, people may feel stuck. So having somebody to sit down and talk to about that, and I give them tools. So it's not just about sitting down and talking. It's like actual useful things for them.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you said, and being that you've been in their boots, literally, like, I mean, not literally their own boots, but your fire boots. So, exactly, like you said, the challenges and the off-season blues that is starting to be talked about more often, like you go 1,000 mile an hour fighting fire to nothing, like literally in that fast, so.
Yeah, no, and that's also a challenging transition for people. So I talk to a lot of people about that.
Yeah, totally. And I want to dive in deeper on that. And I guess for folks, we're just doing a quick podcast intro, Ashley, and talk about this fundraiser that you're helping out with. Forgive me again, Fire and Vine, is that what it's called?
Yeah, Fire and Vines, and it's the Smoke and Grape Stomp. So
Awesome.
to give a little context. This kind of fell serendipitously into my awareness. So I was just out at they call it the Sip and Share at Cary Hill Winery, and we went out to see the competition and to see the sheep. They have these breed of sheep out there, along with there being a winery, of course. And the owner Mindy came up to me and she's just like, "Hey, I have this huge event that I do every year called a Grape Stomp. Do you know of an organization that we could raise money for?" And I was like, of course I do.
Yeah,
The
absolutely.
Wildland Firefighter Foundation. So that's kind of how it all started. And Mindy's amazing. And this is just going to be a super fun way to raise money for the foundation, involve the community, which is super cool. So there's the grape stomp and a cornhole tournament and raffle items and auction items and food and music and the whole thing.
Oh, very cool. So you said, is it Cary Hill? Is that you said Cary Hill wine?
So it's going to be at Cary Hill Winery, and that's in Wilder.
In Wilder, Idaho, right?
In Wilder, Idaho.
Oh, perfect. And
Yeah.
is it open to anybody, or do you have to get tickets, or how does that work?
Yes. So it is open to anybody. All of it's open to anybody. So anybody who wants to do the grape stomp, it's a team of two, and there's a registration for that. And then also, of course, a team of two for the cornhole as well.
Oh, cool. So I, yeah, I'm, forgive me, I don't know anything about grape stomping, but it's two folks in like a barrel, and you just stomp until you get like wine out of it, and that the first group wins, or
Yeah, that's such a good question.
yeah, sorry.
No, it's all good. I haven't or I have not been explaining it. So this is good. I do need to do that. So what happens is the group, the team, they go to opposite ends of the vine. and they run out with the buckets to the opposite ends of the vine, and then they pick the grapes, and then they come back. And so they're competing against each other, and then they stomp. They put
Oh.
it in this contraption that's out there, and they stomp it, and then the juice is how they measure who wins. So
Oh.
that's kind of the foundation of it, I guess.
Very cool. And I
Yeah.
don't know about you, but I'm a big fan of an event that is an active event, you know, like we do the putt and pole here in Missoula, and it's something that, you know, you can actually like a little friendly competition. So I think it brings
Yeah.
people back every year, you know.
Yeah, no, totally. It sounds amazing. Of course, I haven't seen it before, so this will be new for me, but Mindy's been doing it for 4 or 5 years. So she knows that it's successful, and the fact that it's an activity is amazing.
Yeah,
So it's going
getting
to be
people
really fun.
outside, getting to, you know, like literally touch the nature with your hands, you know, and then you get to
Yeah.
see how you do in a very old traditional kind of thing, you know, making wine's been around forever, you know.
Yeah, it's this like really unique opportunity to, and they're her grapes. So I think that that's amazing that she donates her grapes to do that and to whoever she's doing the fundraiser for. So we feel really honored that it's the Wetland Firefighter Foundation.
Yeah, it's so cool. And yeah, like you said, we can't say enough good things about the foundation. And I don't know about you, and maybe I'm wrong here too, but I don't remember them really. I know they're around because, you know, Burke told me like since like 94, you know, is like I think when they first did the shirt sale and started raising money. So they were around, but I didn't really hear about them in my first couple of years of fire, you know. So I didn't know they were this advocate for us, you know, or this place to go. And luckily I was fine, so I didn't need them, but I think it's a lot more well known now, so it's very cool to see.
I hear you. I didn't really when I first started either. So I think it wasn't until I went to Idaho that I really started. And of course, they're in Boise, so that helps, right? But
Yeah.
yeah, I think they've really grown a lot since over the years. So it's
Yeah,
amazing.
totally. Yeah, more events and more chapters. You know, there's the Flathead chapter, and I think there's one in Oregon. You know, there's just a bunch of chapters out there now helping out, and you know, Burke makes the rounds, which is very cool. You know, like he came to the Flathead banquet this summer, and he usually comes
Oh,
to the putt and
cool.
pole, but his son came, so it's kind of, and that's even cooler because then, you know, generationally it's going to keep going, you know,
I
third
know.
generation.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, very.
Yeah.
I forgot to ask you the date. Did you mention the date?
I haven't yet. Yeah, thank you. So it's going to be October 19th, and that's a Saturday, and it's going to be from noon to 7. So that's going to be the middle of the day. That should be, it's October, right? So hopefully we're going to have really nice weather. It's going to be perfect. That's what I'm going to say. We're going to have perfect weather.
Yeah, I'm picturing it right now, you know, just like almost like a little like a light, you know, like this kind of layer of weather maybe, and maybe during the great slump you can get down in a t-shirt and, you know, get a little workout in, and then probably need more of a puffy jacket towards the evening, but
So there'll be live music, there'll be food available for purchase there. Of course, for those who want to partake, there's wine, beer, and cider that'll be there. If not, there's going to be other drinks, of course, for people. And so there's a little bit of everything for everyone, which is really great. So really, we just are hoping to see a lot of people there just to bring the community together.
yeah.
And we have some really cool auction items and some raffle items that I think are really going to, that I feel really grateful were donated already. So this should be really good.
Awesome. Yeah, man. I don't think I'll be able to make it this year, but I can't wait to see some photos. I'm gonna try hard, but yeah, I'll just be getting back from a wedding, so it's gonna be
Yeah, no worries.
a lot of travel. You know, Midwest to Idaho, so a lot of hours in. But hopefully it goes on next year because I'd love to put on the calendar and make it next year.
So hopefully Mindy will see what she says, who she wants to do her fundraiser for. But regardless, I feel really fortunate to be a part of this because I guess I'm embarrassed to say I've never helped with a fundraiser before. So this has been really eye-opening for me, and I'm really grateful for the opportunity to just help support in any way I can.
Yeah, no, I feel you on that one actually too. Is you know, the banquet is the well, the banquet and the putt and pole this year. I've been to the putt and pole before, but didn't really do much. But like at both those events, I actually took my Airstream and had it on display and talked to folks, and
That's
so
so
it was
cool.
yeah, like, and I never thought about it. And if CJ was the one who recommended it, if he didn't say anything, I wouldn't have thought about it because it's one of those things that you get busy in your own life, so you don't think about. You go and support, like when the foundation has an event or somebody else or Wildland Firefighter Foundation has an event. I'm keep like shortening their name, but when those go on, we all go support and stuff, and it's a really cool way to catch up with people, maybe meet some new people. And that's what I was thinking about this Fire and Vines event. That's gonna be so cool because for people like me, I'm super curious. Like me and my wife went to Napa a few years ago, well, a long time ago now, and I didn't even like wine. I was just like going to check it out because I've heard nice things. And by the end of the day, I was sold. I was like, man, I like these, some of these red wines, And then we had, a few that we liked and that we would get on special occasions, and from the vineyard in Napa Valley. And so it'd just be cool to go to an event like this and learn something new, meet some new people that I wouldn't really otherwise maybe run into, So.
Yeah, no, 100%. And where Cary Hill Winery is really beautiful. And I know that I'm saying this about Southern Idaho, which some people might be like, ooh, but it really, really close to the Snake River. And yeah, it's really pretty.
Oh,
So.
nice. Yeah, because yeah, I mean, I didn't really. I was gonna say it, but I definitely was thinking a little more of the dry, high desert kind of
Yes,
country,
it
and
is.
yeah, because we've all been through there, but yeah, it's like I said, it's got its own beauty. But being by the Snake River, it's probably got and being able to grow grapes, it's probably a little bit more of a moist climate than probably, huh?
Yeah, it's interesting. There's so many wineries in that part of Idaho that I guess it is, of course, it's been expanding and it's more popular and all those things, but comes to find out a lot of those wineries have actually been around for a really, really long time.
Oh, very cool.
And I didn't know this, but perfect country for them. So, they've been there and now it's just becoming more popular or marketed or whatever you want to call it, but people are
Yeah.
finding out.
Yeah, it's funny. Well, grapes are kind of strange like that. Like there's the Door County area in Wisconsin that I'm gonna visit in a couple weeks, and that's on that peninsula into Lake Michigan. But
Oh,
then you
cool.
have like the Southern Idaho area where they have wine, and then I can't remember where it was. I want to say it was somewhere in like Italy. That was more of that arid, dry looking country, but it was same thing right around the riverbank, and with that mixing of weather and dry and kind of moisture from the river, they're getting a lot of really good flavor out of the grapes, is what they're saying in this little like PBS
That's
special I
cool.
saw. So it makes
Yeah,
sense.
yeah.
Obviously my first, reaction is always like, wow, man, that seems kind of dry country for any fruit,
Oh, totally. Yeah. It is wild when you drive through there because it is just super dry, but there is a ton of wineries and there's also some like local produce places there too, which is really cool. So, there's a lot to offer down there that I think people don't realize. And so if people are looking for a little trip outside of Boise, it's super nice out there. And, it's a relatively short drive from Boise and, yeah, it's a great opportunity to explore.
Yeah, to explore, see some new country, meet some new people, maybe, and or maybe just like some other folks they haven't seen in a while that might end up showing up. You never know.
No, I hope we can get a great group. I know that it's not great timing for wildland firefighters and also not great timing for hunting
Yeah, true.
season.
Yeah.
And this is the time of year she always holds it. So we're getting the word out there and anybody who wants to come is perfect. So yeah, we're just excited to get it out there to people because I know it's coming up really quick because I'm sure people have plans like yourself.
Yeah, and I'm gonna try to get this podcast out this evening so that we can get it out there to folks, and then I'll get some clips out maybe this weekend and try to get the word out a
Awesome.
little bit. Yeah, and
Yeah, thank you.
yeah, it'll be great. I appreciate what you're doing, and I appreciate you being a part of the event, and I'm glad that you're able to talk her into doing the Wildland Firefighter Foundation fundraiser. That's very cool.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, is there any other details that you want? I mean, I have the link that I sent to you in the flyer, where everybody can sign up for lots of things. You can sign up for the Grape Stomp, which is $150 a team. And of course, all the proceeds go to the foundation. The cornhole tournament is $50 a team, and then people can sponsor, they can donate things for a raffle. But most importantly, we're just encouraging people just to come.
Yeah, just come see it for sure. Yeah, and yeah, if you can, find a rowdy partner to come help, stomp some grapes and do a competition. Like, yeah, it sounds like a great time to me. So, Yeah, I really encourage anybody, who's tuning into this, go check it out if you can. Even if it's a bit of a drive, it's a trip that you'll probably always remember. I mean, how many people can say they got to stomp some grapes in a competition and for a good cause,
Yeah, no, for sure. A little I Love Lucy action.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Oh, it's really good for sure.
Yeah, and there'll be green grass, and I'm sure there might be some kids around, and there's the sheep, which everybody loves to see. We're not supposed to touch them, of course,
Oh
but the
yeah.
sheep are really cool. They're actually special ones that come from Ireland. They're
Oh.
called dirty knee sheep or Carraghill sheep.
Oh.
And yeah, so anyway, there's just a lot of cool things going on there.
Yeah, definitely adds the atmosphere, having the sheep there and everything else. So
Yeah.
sure, yeah, I think that's good for right now. I guess actually I don't want to keep you like I was saying earlier. So thanks again for coming on. I can't think of anything else.
Okay. Thanks, Luke, so much. I really appreciate it. And I know the foundation does too.
Yeah. Anytime. Yeah, great. I love helping out. I love helping, especially with things with the wildland firefighters and for the Wildland Firefighter Foundation. And like I said, we'll do a follow-up and do a little more of your story because you've got an incredible story and I'd love to share it if that's all right with you.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, thanks, Luke. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Ashley. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, sounds good. Bye.
Bye.